It's here!
Welcome once again, my friends. If you are downloading the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast, nice to have you along. We're available, as always, on the website at stoneyrichards.com. And, of course, you can also get it as a podcast on iTunes as well. And any comments and things you want to send along, I'm on Twitter at Stoney Richards, always available to you. What a crazy week. What a crazy week it has been since last we spoke. It kind of started last week, if you saw the headline with Turkey shoots down Russian plane right on Thanksgiving. And of course, the jokes came very, very quickly. And then, of course, we realized that, in fact, that really had happened. Then you have the shooting here on Monday. And then you had the shooting just the other day in San Bernardino, California, a mass shooting of 14 people. It's happening more and more and more, almost on a, you know, people have been saying on a weekly basis. It's almost on a daily basis the way it's going now. Just a crazy situation. This is this podcast is coming to you a little bit earlier than we normally do it. I usually do these for you on Friday, and we get them out to you over the weekend. But I'm headed to New York. yes, the time of the season. And, you know, I mean, with all the stuff that's been going on in the world lately, travel isn't as mindless a thing as it used to be. If you travel a lot for your job or if you just travel a lot generally, and I generally do, but now you kind of give thoughts to it. And it's like, oh, man, you know, the security is going to be crazy. And do I need to take this trip? And on and on and on. But, of course, there's nothing like this is a business trip that I have to go to. And there's nothing like going to New York at Christmas time where the normally terribly expensive hotel rooms are now even more expensive than they normally are. I think the room that they got for us is like $300, you know, for a night. But for purposes of Christmas, the holiday season, if you will, it's like $600. So they even said, you know, if you can get out of town earlier, we love having you, but when we're done, just get out of here. So it's really going to be a quick in and a quick out. Although getting into New York at this time of the year is, I think it's probably the loveliest city to be in during the holidays. We went there a couple years ago, just the family, and, you know, just to walk around and be tourists. And, you know, the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center and the Believe on the Macy's building and St. Patrick's Cathedral and, of course, all the decorations that are around. And I mean, who can resist the ungodly prices for anything in New York anytime, but especially this time of the year? Of course, the skating rink is beautiful again at Rockefeller Center. It's just, you know, it's completely transformed, millions of lights and people hustling and bustling. Although I am interested to see, nothing really stops New York, but I got a feeling that everyone, I know I will be walking with a little bit more caution than I usually have in New York, and very little abandon, you know, just, hey, I'm out here. Although I am planning, because this weather is another factor. We've got some pretty decent weather in the country. I don't know where you're listening to this too, but I mean, in the central part of the country, it's just been terrible. The South has been pretty wet, but in the East, in Pennsylvania, in New York, it's been pretty decent. And knock on wood, no snow yet, although there have been some very, very big storms that have come through, but they kind of get to the middle of the country and go north for snow and go south for a little bit of rain. So we're kind of sitting in the middle of it. I noticed that the temperatures now, this is, of course, if you're in Los Angeles on the West Coast, this is, of course, the time of the season where everybody gets that holiday spirit, and women especially get to bring out their boots. Now, if you live in the East, if you live in Pittsburgh, if you live in Detroit, if you live in New York, when I say boots, winter, that means slush and pretty ugly clodhoppers, because there's not only snow, there's slush and there's salt, right? Not in California. I never forgot this when we first moved there. It's like women would say, "Oh, I'm going to wear. It's getting cold. I got to get my boots out." And they'd come to work in these, you know, these $600 boots, and it was like, "Why are you wearing these?" Because you can. In California, you can wear boots like that because it may rain at worst. But there's, you know, if you've been in New York, you step off that curb into slush, which then becomes a puddle, and then of course the taxi comes by at a rapid speed and splashes the rest of you that hasn't been doused already. Ah, nothing like winter in New York. But I mean, Central Park, it looks like the weather's going to be pretty decent, so I'm going to make myself a little run in Central Park and enjoy the time that I have there. And again, with my phone, with caution all around. The world has changed. The world has changed. There are no longer, you know, I was watching the Macy's Day Parade. And I was amazed at how well, I was talking about this on my talk show that we do weekly on KDKA, the radio show, and I was amazed at how well they pulled off the security for that parade. You did not see any of the, I'm sure, tons of security, the cameras, the police. People had said that they had seen, you know, police officers on tops of buildings. Fine. But, I mean, it went off without a hitch. And so kudos to New York for making sure that event took place and took place safely. Keep it up, guys. and then somebody had this snarky comment that, you know, the Macy's Day Parade is kind of becoming one big commercial. And I thought, where have you been for the past number of years? What is the Macy's Day Parade if nothing but a commercial? And it's the Macy's Day Parade, which is, say it with me, class, a department store at Christmas time. You got it. It's a commercial for Macy's. It's a commercial for New York. It's a commercial for tour. You name it. It's a commercial for tourism. And you know what? It works. And if you have a commercial that has Santa Claus and the Rockettes and maybe somebody I like from a musical and some good country artists, which they all had, were all there for this year's Macy's Day Parade, I'm okay with it. So happy holidays.
Maybe tell him white lies. They want to run the nation, the Klintodashians.
Time now for another exciting episode of the Klintodashians. In today's episode, Bill and Hillary receive a knock at their Chappaqua door.
I'll get it, Hillary. I don't want you to miss the end of The Good Wife.
Really, Bill, you two need to get a doorman. At my Trump Tower, which is the most expensive and beautiful real estate in all of Manhattan, I have a doorman for my bathroom. I got so many doormen.
That's great, Donald. I'll make a note of it. But I'm sure he didn't come all this way to tell us that.
Donald, it's Sunday night. You know I love to watch The Good Wife, Homeland, and Bill's favorite, The Affair.
Maybe so, but I gotta tell you something that is so fantastic when I sit down, that you are going to wonder if you even heard me right when I tell you.
Hit us with your best shot, Don.
The new polls are out. The new polls are out. It looks like you, Mrs. First Lady, Mrs. Secretary of State, Mrs. Lost to Obama the first time around.
Donald, get to the point.
It looks like you've tanked, Hillary. It looks like you've tanked in their recent polls, down 35% behind Bernie Sanders. Is he even still around, or is he living in a commune somewhere? And you are behind the great one by a sizable margin.
Don, you sure you got that right?
I'm telling you, I'm ahead and she's behind.
Who? What poll. Where did you get that information, Donald?
Where did I get that information, Donald? Where do I get information? I've got hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of emails and calls from friends, people who want to follow me saying that I'm all over you in the polls. Never for a moment I thought I'd have to hang the big L over the top of your head, but there it is, ba-doom.
Don, do you have a credible source?
Credible source. My followers.
Don't you mean your constituents, Donald?
Followers? They all follow me. They're followers. They all follow where I lead. Don't get all Washington schmancy-pantsy on me now. So, are you ready to concede, Hillary? Fox is waiting. I got Bill O'Reilly waiting in the car, which is a beautiful and very expensive Lincoln Town Car. One of the best available. Want to go take a look at it?
Donald? I think we'll just wait for the morning paper. How's that?
Suit yourself. And I'm telling you, I've never, ever been wrong on anything I've said. And I've got hundreds, thousands, millions, millions who are saying the same thing.
See you, Donald. Don't trip on the walk. Sorry about that, Hillary. Hey, gee, that did go on. We're not going to miss the affair, are we?
Well, are you going to miss the affair indeed? It looks like there's two sides to every story. Or is there? Find out in our next exciting episode of The Clitodashian.
Maybe jail and white rice. They wanna run the nation. The Clitodashians.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, no matter where you go, you cannot escape Pittsburgh. You can go to Hawaii and see people in Pittsburgh Penguin jerseys. You can go to Miami and you can see people in Pittsburgh Pirate hats. You can go to London, England and see folks in their Steeler jackets. It's inescapable. We are all over. The diaspora of Pittsburgh is worldwide. And so those of you who are listening on the World Wide Web where this show comes from or on our radio broadcast on KDKA, which is also around the world on the web, I always like to do our weekly letter from home. So, Mr. Greco, if you would, it is time once again for our weekly letter from home, because no matter how far away you roam, there's simply no place like home. It's a tradition here in western Pennsylvania that dates back to colonial times, and to the Native Americans who enjoyed this land before us, a time when men, boys, and some wives even, load up coolers, pull out camouflage, guns, rifle, and beef jerky, and go hunting and farting in the woods. There was a time when the Native Americans came here from the Mohawk Valley to crouch among our huge forests, forests so thick, I'm told, that they couldn't find enough open ground in which to settle. So they grabbed as many deer and beaver and squirrels and skunks and possums they could and loaded up their canoes and made it back to the rivers, to their camps in the valleys of what is now New York. When white settlers arrived, they too found these forests as thick as the Iroquois and Seneca and Delaware and Mohicans. But being white men, we simply cut them down. And we continued cutting at a rapid pace, settling first camps, then villages and towns and cities. It's taken a couple hundred years, but now the forests in western Pennsylvania have all been reduced to woods, and the progress of the white settlers continues as we find the need for more Walgreens and more Dick's Sporting Goods stores and more Chipotles and more Texas Roadhouses and get-goes and beds, baths, and beyonds. We call it progress. We install lights and roadways and intersections and stoplights that seem to bring the flow of progress to a standstill 3 minutes at a time. And so now those deer, the beautiful horned bucks and the graceful does, still hover in what's left of those woods. But every once in a while, frightened by hunters with high-powered scopes and night vision and special scents and drones, they find it necessary to flee. sometimes toward our roads and highways. And since it is also the rutting season, the deer don't know if they should run for their lives or run to have the time of their lives. It's all so confusing, and that many times is the look you see as they stare up at your headlights on that big F-150 truck you're driving. It doesn't end well for them, and many times it doesn't end well for us or our vehicles either, but it's progress, because the kids get a couple days off from school, and a Commonwealth that still can't balance its budget or make it possible to get liquor at a Shop and Save. It's progress, and there's no stopping it, except for that silent time as you aim, breathe, and shoot. I'm Stoney Richards, and that's this week's Letter from Home. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast. I remind you of that. That's my radio training. It's not, you know, it's a podcast. It's not like you're going to be tuning up and down the dial, right? But anyway, it's the Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast for you. Always available at stoneyrichards.com and, of course, on iTunes as well. And you can always get a hold of me on Twitter at Stoney Richards. That's my little commercial. Thank you very much. But that's not why you called, is it? No, this is about the news, and perhaps you did not see this in the news. This comes to us from Sheena McKenzie for CNN. Fans of the adorable golden bear with an insatiable appetite for honey are in for a dose of reality, says the story. The skull of the bear, which inspired children's books Winnie the Pooh, has gone on public display for the first time, and it seems the animal's legendary sweet tooth left its mark. The original Canadian black bear, I didn't know there was really a Winnie the Pooh. The original Canadian black bear, which died in 1934, is missing many of its teeth, apparently after decades of children feeding it honey while housed at London Zoo. She did suffer from quite severe gum disease that led to a lot of her teeth coming out, said Sam Alberti, director of the Royal College of Surgeons' Hunterian Museum, where the skull is now on show. And we think being fed sticky sweets by children for 20 years probably didn't help, he went on to say. The skull is that of Winnipeg, called Winnie for short, a bear that boy Christopher Robin regularly visited at the zoo and later named his teddy after. The boy was none other than the son of author A.A. Milne, who used the bear as inspiration for his famous children's books, Winnie the Pooh, which were first published in the mid-1920s. Canadian soldier Captain Harry Colborne brought Winnipeg as a cub in 1914 and named her after his hometown in Manitoba. When Colborne's regiment was sent to England to train during the start of World War I, he brought the bear with him as a mascot. But the group was soon deployed to fight in France, and the animal was left at its permanent home, the London Zoo. The particularly friendly bear was a hugely popular attraction, and her skull was kept by the Royal College of Surgeons. After Winnie died, her skull was donated to dental surgeon James Frank Collier, curator of the Ontological Museum, part of the Royal College of Surgeons collections. He noted Winnie's loss of teeth and put it down to old age and her eating habits. Collier's research became an invaluable part of his 1936 book on dental diseases of captive animals. I'm going to get a cookie. Thank you. Today, oh my. It's time once again, friends, for the evening sports dish, so let's get right to it, shall we? There are more pressing matters in the world these days, but if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, which is now not so much a fanatic fandom, but more a daily voyeuristic soap opera, you've got to be wondering if, say it with me, Ben will play on Sunday. That's a big conversation starter, even with Ben, who, while it was said, suffered a concussion during the end of the game in Seattle, who pulled himself out of the game and had thoughts about his family and his children, was tested by doctors for concussion symptoms, declared okay for practice, and then learned from his coach's press conference that, according to Mike Tomlin, that he indeed did have a concussion, still isn't sure himself if he will be allowed to suit up for Sunday night's game against the Colts in Heinz Field. Here's a note. If calling Ben's injury a concussion was a judgment call made by Coach Mike Tomlin, my guess is he's wrong. Just as wrong as he was when he decided to call a fake field goal that turned into a Seattle interception, because Tomlin did everything short of calling an in-game press conference to alert the Seahawks of his devious plan. Poor judgment? If Mike Tomlin is standing at the pearly gates on our final day of judgment, we're all screwed, because based on that call and some others along the way, the guy's judgment shouldn't even be considered in a kangaroo court. But I digress. So Ben wants to play. Even his teammates say that many players will not accept concussion symptoms as an excuse for not playing if they are reported, so they many times keep quiet. Even after Ben said he doesn't want to be, what was his eloquence? I don't want my teammates when you have reunions. I don't want to see guys drooling and not being able to remember things, I believe were his words. I know it's all about football, but let's stop and think, friends. Perhaps, and when I use the word perhaps, it makes me sound like a thinking man, don't you think? Perhaps Ben's inability to understand his condition and his confusion over what's come to be known as his condition is proof that his condition is such that, I'll say it again, perhaps, he should sit this one out on Sunday. Cue the soap opera music. I'm Stoney Richards, and that's Sports from my vantage point. Ha! In the booth!
Let's get out there and hit some people!
Well, there you have it, friends. That's it, my Stoney Richards Live from the Center podcast. Hope you enjoyed this and all of them. They are always up on the website at stoneyrichards.com and, of course, on iTunes. And you can always get a hold of me on Twitter at Stoney Richards. Our thanks to you for listening. My thanks to Johnny Grieco, our musical director, and, of course, Jeff Orvitz. Have a great week. Back with more next week. Stoney Richards Live from the Center.